In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
How many here are familiar with this morning's parable? It is familiar, and actually it requires us to dig as deeply as possible in it because there is language. In fact, there are just two words that demand our attention, that require a lot of digging. Unfortunately, the time for digging is limited. The two words are mystery and parable. Before looking at the parable directly, let's try to work on these two words. What is mystery? Not something fully accessible to our understanding. I heard Louise say the unknown. Can we say anything else? How many read, I don't, but how many read mystery novels? Okay, so what does a mystery do for us? How does it function in a literary context?
Okay,
the truth is not ostensibly there, and it then reveals itself. So that we will hold that, so we'll put that in the margin. But before we get to the margin, what else does the mystery do when we are reading a mystery? It pulls us into the text. It draws our attention, and we want to uncover what this means. Now, related to the question, what is mystery, is the other question. Does mystery conceal or reveal? Both. What is its primary function, however? And here we can go to the parable. What is the function to you has been given to know the mysteries? In Luke and Matthew, the word is mysteria. It's in the plural. In Mark, it is in the singular, mysteria. To you has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. So Tim said mystery does both. It conceals and it reveals. So we will have to look at how does that dynamic work in the context of this morning's reading. How is it that the mystery can simultaneously conceal and reveal? But before we get to that, what is a parable?
A story.
It's precisely what you say it loud. You have to say it very loud. It is a story.
It's helping to reveal the mystery.
It is the story that helps to reveal the mystery. And that's the key word. Reveal. Reveal the mystery. When we hear this parable, when we hear the word mystery, by the way, the sacraments of the church are referred to as what?
Mysteries.
Why?
Because they reveal.
They reveal, and what else? They draw us into the reality, or at least that is their intention, to draw us into the reality of the kingdom of God. To us has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, and therefore we are beckoned to enter into that which is manifested. And what is manifested is the kingdom of God. Now, in hearing this parable, mystery or mysteries are connected to the dissemination of the Word of God. And what is it that we learn from this parable relative to the Word of God. To whom is this Word given?
Everyone.
No one is excluded. So there is the universality of the Word. The Word of God is sown throughout time and space. The Word of God has been at work from the beginning of creation. The Word of God has become incarnate and has dwelt among us. And as St. John says in his Gospel, we have seen, in his letter, we have seen, we have touched, we have had contact with this Word. We have had contact with this Word in and through the mysteries, in and through the mysteries of the Church. So the Word of God is universal. No one is excluded from this Word. Yet, how does the Word function? How does the Word of God function? It either draws us into that reality of the mystery of the kingdom, or what else?
It turns us away.
So therefore, is the Word of God neutral?
No.
It is not neutral. It either draws us closer to God, it either brings us into the mystery, which is inexhaustible, or the Word of God can cause us to rebel against it. Jesus heals. Jesus proclaims the kingdom. Jesus announces that the kingdom of God is among us. The kingdom of God is revealed in his very being. He proclaims that he is Messiah, that he is the Savior of the world. There are those who follow him, there are those who desire to know him better, and there are others who desire to do what?
Kill.
To kill. And that's precisely the tension that exists in this parable. The Word is given, and yet this Word either draws us into that dynamic of repentance and growing closer to God, or it creates another dynamic, a dynamic in which we rebel. We rebel to the extent of hating the Word. Now there is a very important text. Unfortunately, it has not been translated. In fact, very few people, including biblical scholars, are aware of what is perhaps the major patristic commentary on the Gospel according to St. Mark. And yet, there's something in this commentary that applies to what we've been talking about. The author, the preacher, is a presbyter of 5th century Antioch. His name is Victor of Antioch. He has the oldest extant commentary on the Gospel according to St. Mark. And what he develops, or begins to develop, in a very rudimentary way, is the psychology connected to how the Word of God is to be accepted or rejected. So speaking about this parable, Victor says, certainly what is seen comes to those around Jesus from the gift of sight. Keep in mind that Jesus uses this very hard saying from the prophet Isaiah. You will see and not see. You will hear and not hear. So certainly, what is seen comes to those around Jesus, and that includes us, from the gift of sight. But what is not seen occurs because of the defilement of their own eyes, and consequently, this is a very important section, and consequently, they pretend not to see. Similarly, what is not heard is not from being unable to understand what is being said, but despising it. It falls to them not to be set free of the sins which exist within themselves, but to be opposed to their own salvation. What does Victor say about the word of God and salvation? He is saying that it is up to our will to accept this word of God or to reject it. And keep in mind, Ambrose mentioned that those who entered that realm of opposition seek to kill the Lord. Even before the crucifixion, Jesus is proclaiming the kingdom, he is healing, he is teaching, and what is said about his great works? They are from where? From Beelzebub. Keep in mind the Apostle Paul, before his conversion, what was he doing to Christians?
Persecuting
them. What changes him?
The encounter with Christ,
which he could have rejected. Instead, what does he do? He repents. He changes his mind. So, brothers and sisters, when we hear this parable, it is beckoning us to take note of how we take care of the Word of God. Are we a people who seek to have this Word grow and bear fruit from the good soil that comes from repentance? Or are we a people who carelessly, heedlessly, or even worse, accept this Word with joy, with thanksgiving, and then, because we dig deeper into its reality, we discover that it requires the totality of our existence, and therefore we rebel against it. He who has ears to hear ends the reading this morning. He who has ears to hear, let him hear that the Lord Jesus is amongst us. Christ is in our midst. Christ presides at this Eucharist. Christ beckons us to draw near and to feast on this Word. We not only hear the Word, we not only see the Word, we devour, we taste the Word. How?
In the Eucharist.
So we are people who have heard the Word. We are people who are called to receive the Word. We are people who are called, who are invited to consume the Word which gives new and eternal life, now and forever. Amen.